From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armand Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14. The earnest of our inheritance. Oh, what enlightenment, what joys, what consolation, what delight of heart is experienced by that man who has learned to feed on Jesus and on Jesus alone. Yet the realization which we have of Christ's preciousness is, in this life, imperfect at the best. As an old writer says, 'tis but a taste. We have tasted that the Lord is gracious, but we do not yet know how good and gracious He is, although what we know of His sweetness makes us long for more. We have enjoyed the first fruits of the Spirit, and they have set us hungering and thirsting for the fullness of the heavenly vintage. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Here we are like Israel in the wilderness, who had but one cluster from Eshcol. There we shall be in the vineyard. Here we see the manna falling small, like coriander seed. But there shall we eat the bread of heaven and the old corn of the kingdom. We are but beginners now in spiritual education, for although we have learned the first letters of the alphabet, we cannot read words yet, much less can we put sentences together. But as one says, he that has been in heaven but 5 minutes knows more than the general assembly of divines on earth. We have many ungratified desires at present, but soon every wish shall be satisfied, and all our power shall find the sweetest employment in that eternal world of joy. O Christian, antedate heaven for a few years. Within a very little time thou shalt be rid of all thy trials and thy troubles. Thine eyes, now suffused with tears, shall weep no longer. Thou shalt gaze in ineffable rapture upon the splendor of Him who sits upon the throne. Nay, more, upon His throne shalt thou sit. The triumph of His glory shall be shared by thee. His crown, His joy, His paradise, these shall be thine, and thou shalt be co-heir with Him who is the heir of all things.
Bending wings they are.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land." In these days, when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled, The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's broadcast, Pastor Tomassian begins the final message in his study of Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. The final verses of chapter 5 contain the characteristics of a true gospel church. We've seen that the ideal church is at peace with God and with each other. Also, a true gospel church makes progress in obeying the Holy Spirit, in growth in grace, in exercising spiritual discernment. In verses 15 through 28, Paul shows that a gospel church is marked by having purpose. In the first place, such a church recognizes the need for prayer, especially for those who are involved in the ministry of the Word. Now, to introduce this message, a gospel church is a church with purpose. Here is Pastor Tomassian.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll take time to read from verse 12, really, where this section of thought begins, as Paul leaves one thought and moves into others. So we'll read from verse 12 to the end of the chapter. We've been looking through this epistle through the last year. I trust with the Lord's help we'll bring it to a close today. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. It is in Acts chapter 17, during Paul's second missionary journey, that we read of him entering into the city to which this epistle is addressed. He went there, as he did at other times, going into a place with the desire to bring the message of the gospel. And he had a certain pattern that he followed, or sought to follow where he could, where upon entering a city he would seek to locate a synagogue, then in that synagogue to open up the Old Testament scriptures and to preach Christ to those that would hear. And of course it wasn't merely to preach the Messiah, it was then to direct them to understand that the one known as Jesus of Nazareth fulfills all the prophecies and is the one that God had promised, and the one to whom they must look to for salvation. That was his manner. And going into the city, Thessalonica, he found a synagogue there, and as his manner was, he began to teach the scriptures and affirm the gospel of Christ. That's what he did. And God was pleased to bless it. He was pleased to save souls and gather them together as a church, as the called out ones, the synagogue, those that were there who had not the real root of the gospel within their hearts, they were not the truly called out ones, but God called on to himself those that believed in the Son of God. So we read in Acts 17 verse 4, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But things did not stay settled, as often was the case when Paul was there. A riot would ensue. People would get upset. He would have that influence. Such was the power often upon his ministry that he was hard to ignore. Again, we'll maybe think about this a little tonight, but if you're in obscurity, it doesn't really matter what you're saying. People don't care too much. But whenever there is a sense where you're drawing attention and people are giving you an ear, when people don't like what you're saying, then it's not just that they don't like what you're saying, but it's the fact that many seem to be listening that they have a problem with you. So it was with Paul. And this city was a free city, a city that had its own sense of independence in spite of being part of the Roman Empire. And that was something that they wanted to protect. And they kind of used that as the argument. Look, these men are unsettling things. And the argument is made in verse 7 of Acts 17. These all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And so they try to bring that aspect in to prevent Paul and Silas from having further influence upon the hearts of the people. And Paul ends up leaving hastily, but then later sends Timothy back to see how they're getting on. And upon Timothy's report, he pens this epistle, the first of the 14 writings of the Apostle Paul that we have in the New Testament scriptures. We have spent, as we said, the bulk of the past year in the Sunday mornings looking at this epistle, and we come to the end. As we approach the end of chapter 5 from verse 12 onwards, we dealt first of all with the subject that a gospel church is a church at peace, verses 12 through 15. We then considered that a gospel church is a church making progress, verses 16 through 24. And we come then to the end of the epistle, that a gospel church is a church with purpose, from verse 25 through to the end. And so the question then is asked, well, what is their purpose? You read from verse 25 onwards, brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. What is the purpose? There's certainly here an emphasis upon brethren. Verse 25, brethren, pray for us. Verse 26, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And by the emphasis of this word, we can see in the apostles' mind a pulling together of who they are in their identity. That this is a community. These are a people that are together. They are brothers. They are sisters. And they are pulled together in common fellowship through their union with Jesus Christ. And by constantly peppering these final verses with the word brethren, he is drawing that to their minds. He's helping them to remember they are a community. It is not you over there and me over here, and we don't really have much of an interest in one another. You are brethren. You're kin. You're pulled together by the magnetism of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your interests are the same. I'm nearly tempted to go back and read over the hymn we just sang, because it really highlights and pulls these thoughts together in a very helpful way. When God blessed the Apostle Peter particularly, though others were preaching, it appears, but on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 were converted, we are told in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And you pull all that together, you see there's intimacy, there's dependency, and there is instruction that is all communicated to each that are there. And while the following exhortations in what we're looking at this morning are not precisely the same, you will see on the whole that they're pulling the body of Christ together. And so Paul exhorts them as he closes his epistle in a number of ways. So let us consider then that a gospel church is a church with purpose, seeing first of all the need for intercession. The need for intercession. Verse 25, brethren, pray for us. This is basically Paul's sole request made to the church in terms of himself. He hasn't asked for money, hasn't asked for anything, but coming near to the very end of the epistle, he throws in there, "Look, would you pray for us? Would you remember me? Would you remember those that are with me?" And if you step back and you just think about the individual making this request, it's a marvel. Here is a man of unusual, indeed, extraordinary gift. A man of extreme intellect, of great knowledge and experience and influence. Even at this stage, still kind of in the middle of his ministry, of his life, even at this point, he had seen tremendous power. The Lord coming with him and working with him and miracles and the evidence of his preaching having a profound impact upon one community after another. And yet he is very conscious of his need of divine help. He was a man of prayer, of that there is no doubt. A man who prayed without ceasing. He begins many of his epistles reminding of the people that he remembers them, that he prays for them night and day, praying without ceasing and remembering their work and what they've done and so on and so forth. But he has this air, this atmosphere of prayer that permeates all that he writes. He was a man who lived and breathed the atmosphere of heaven, constantly in communion with God. And even though he walked in these heights that very few, if any, others have experienced of the fallen sons of Adam, yet still he was dependent upon lesser individuals to remember him in the place of prayer. And that is very comforting. It is comforting because the greatness of this man was not merely what he was in and of himself, but what God made him to be. And he acknowledged that himself in his life, that it was by grace that he was what he was. That the Lord's hand had been upon him, and had the hand of God not been upon him, then he would not be anything that he became in the church and in the world.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.